are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Monday, March the 2nd. And the final full month of Pistons basketball has begun. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, the sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to talk about the weekend's games as the Pistons finished up their trip out west. I've got three big takeaways. And also going to talk later on about what I saw from Isaac Okoro of Auburn against Tyrese Maxey of Kentucky on Saturday, kind of a quasi-scouting report from the totality of their bodies of work and how they might interest Pistons fans this June. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, but the Pistons split games on the West Coast over the weekend, beating the Phoenix Suns on Friday night, 113-111, snapping the seven-game winning streak. But even better, did not turn it into a they snapped the seven-game losing streak, but didn't turn it into a winning streak. So good weekend all in all, as they closed the four-game roadie with a 106-100 loss to the Sacramento Kings on Sunday. Pistons finished the trip 1-3. Over the four games after dropping a couple of games to Denver. And before that was brain fart incoming. Oh yeah, they lost to Portland the other night as well. The Pistons are now 20-42 on the season, as hard as that is to believe. 10-17 now against crap teams after splitting the crap fest over the weekend. That is the biggest undoing of this season, even more so than injuries, I think, because even if you're a bad team, if you're a mediocre team, you could still beat bad teams. The Pistons didn't do that this year. They are now 7.5 games out of the playoffs. That's only, it's only a number at this point. It doesn't really mean anything. Obviously, we'll talk magic number, tragic number as time goes on here in March as the Pistons march towards their inevitable demise this season. But over the weekend, tankathon related material. The Knicks beat the Bulls. Atlanta won twice for some reason. The Wizards beat the Warriors, but the Warriors got a win too. They beat the Suns on Saturday. So some decent results for the Pistons, who are now in sixth place for ping pong balls in Tankathon by themselves. The win column's the most important one. The Pistons have 20 wins along with Chicago, so even though the Bulls have an extra loss or two, the win column is the most important part when looking at Tankathon. 19 wins for Atlanta now, 18 for the Knicks, 17 apiece for Minnesota and Cleveland. Golden State, still the gold standard, with 13 wins this season. A bunch of these teams are in action tonight, and all against pretty good teams. You got the Cavs hosting Utah. You got the Knicks hosting the Rockets. The Hawks hosting Memphis. And the Bulls hosting Dallas. So none of those games really stand out as winnable. Although Atlanta playing well against Jaren Jackson lists Memphis Grizzlies could be a possibility there. Hopefully one of those teams gets a win. That would be a successful night for the Pistons. Two would be amazing, obviously. And three or four would be incredible. So cross your fingers because the draft position matters. And again, for me, it's not about the most important part is getting a nice position for the lottery so that you don't fall too far when you get passed by teams. You don't count on luck in this life or in this lottery. But if you position yourself at number 5, the lowest you can get down to is 9 or so. And that would even be a little bit, mathematically possible, certainly, but very unlikely for that to happen. So you get yourself positioned at 4 or 5 on there, and you don't fall too far as you can go 6 or 7 realistically. So that's a good spot for them to be. Obviously, you like the lottery odds. You want to get the first, second, or third pick if possible. And if they can get into that top 3, like I said, that's the best odds you could possibly get, was those top 3 odds. All the better. And with the Pistons having a tough road schedule-wise the rest of the way, certainly could be possible with that. So Derrick Rose had 31 points on Friday night in the win, two clutch baskets on drives near the end as well in Phoenix. Great drives, great individual effort from him, giving the Pistons the win. 19 points from Brandon Knight. He was huge in the fourth quarter as well. 19, 9, and 5 for Christian Wood, who is the Pistons' best player, undoubtedly. I thought that Sekou had a couple nice moments, Dumbuya, getting out in transition there. Something to think about with one of the cornerstones of this franchise, supposedly, going forward. He likes to get out and run and has a talent for that, especially early on in his career. Maybe the team can do that a little bit. I know you got to get rebounders who can throw outlet passes. Obviously, that was not something that Andre Drummond ever did here in Detroit or was asked to do, to his credit. Maybe he could have done it if they opened up some outlet passes to some early offense, force the point guards to look down the court for some early offense. And I know the transition doesn't really happen all that much in the NBA. Transition games, teams are getting back on defense, so they're really not trying to give transition buckets away. But certainly they can happen, and you could be a team that breaks a little bit of a trend there. But Sunday, the Pistons went up 18-1 in this game. Looked like they were going to crawl to another victory, unfortunately. Although, by the way, Friday getting the win in Phoenix, not a big deal. It's a good thing. It's good to get a win every now and then. It's inevitable that it's going to happen. The Pistons still might win three or four more games the rest of the year, so we can deal with that. But Derrick Rose had to miss most of Sunday's game after turning his ankle, although it sounds like everyone's pretty positive about the prognosis for him. The Kings did claw back, certainly. A very boring second half, I got to admit. I kind of zoned out a bit at times. It's zoning out season right now as we're approaching the spring with a lost Pistons season. Or maybe you're getting other things done while you're watching, those kind of things. Or you're skipping it entirely and just listening to Locked On Pistons. I recommend that course of action, maybe more than any of the others. But 20-12 for Christian Wood. Once again, he was great. 16 points and 7 assists for Brandon Knight, who is won the trade, right? That's what they're saying on Twitter. 14 points for Svi Mykhailiuk, had a nice little bounce back weekend. 12 for Tony Snell, 10 for Langston Galloway, 10 for John Henson as well. Actually, 11 for Galloway, 10 for John Henson as well. Pistons back home this week for two. They will play Oklahoma City on Wednesday. Oklahoma City comes in on the second half of back-to-back. Then Utah comes on Saturday. Utah, the Jazz, will be in on the second half of back-to-back as well. Then the Pistons go back on the road for the New York Knicks on Sunday in what will be a second half of a back-to-back for the Pistons. So that's going to be a key tankathon game, obviously. And then at 76ers a week from Wednesday, they've got all sorts of problems. Shake Milton going crazy on Sunday, all those injuries as well. And then the Pistons at the Raptors after that a week from Saturday. So that's the next couple weeks in Pistons land. Really a lot of spread out. You know, there's not a whole lot of games there, I guess four of them in a two-week span, not too many. So actually, it's five of them in a two-week span, one of the back-to-back that snuck out on the weekend. But yes, looking for some content, looking for some ideas of what you guys want to talk about here on the show this next week. Chasing a couple of fun interviews next week, by the way. But up next, I got three takeaways for you from the weekend. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I will talk a bit about Tyrese Maxey and Isaac Okoro. They went head-to-head on Saturday. A couple of Pistons possibilities for the draft coming up in June. But the honorable mention takeaway from the weekend, a shout-out to Reggie Jackson. The good times continue to roll for him with the Los Angeles Clippers. Sunday afternoon game on ABC. That's got to be crazy, first of all, for him, right? After years of obscurity with the Detroit Pistons. I don't know if Mark Jackson has ever seen him play. And Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen and all those guys. I kid, I think. But, man, what's the scenario where they would have been doing some Pistons games? Maybe that Cavs series the 1 year in 2016. I don't know. But the Clippers now 41-19, so almost the exact reverse record of the Pistons. Reggie on Sunday goes 13-4-3, two block shots in 19 minutes as well. On Friday night, they killed Denver, the Clippers did, and Reggie had 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists in 19 minutes as well. And how about Sunday night, the other marquee game? Markieff went off for 10 points and 4 rebounds for the Lakers as they beat Zion Williamson and the Pelicans in a game that everyone was watching. I just will never understand how that all went down on deadline week with the Pistons and Markieff Morris not being able to get something for him. I believe it. I believe that they didn't get offers. I believe the reporting from everyone out there. But how could that happen? How does the best team in the league just scoop him up for nothing, play him 15 minutes against the Pelicans in a playoff atmosphere type of game, and have no problem putting it out there, and the Pistons can't get anything for him? It's just a strange thing because we saw that every single contender in the league was linked to him. In the days leading up to the trade deadline, I did some of my own reporting on that. You know, a team that was mentioned turned their sights elsewhere, although dominoes just kind of seemed to fall that way for the Pistons at the trade deadline. Nothing went their way, as we know. An unfortunate deadline for a team that still sits here without a second-round pick going into next year, as the rebuild will have to a little bit of hurdles with the lack of second-round picks in the coming seasons. But speaking of second-round picks, how about my third biggest takeaway from the weekend, and that is Svea Mykhailiuk. He's kind of went on some wild swings of production lately. Before the injury, he had 18 of 21 games with double-digit scoring, but then he came back from the injury after the All-Star break, in which he struggled in the Futures game there, Rising Stars game, I should say. But came back from the injury, really struggled with the Pistons, didn't score double figures for his first four games back, was 5 for 19 from three in that span at 26.3%. This is a guy who's up over 42% before the injuries, but he kind of bounced back. He had 13 points on Friday against the Suns and then 14 against the Kings on Sunday, 4 for 9 from three on Sunday, I think 3 for 7 from three on Friday, so yeah, getting back to close to 50% on the week. So pretty good job by him there. So Svea continues to bounce back a little bit, looking more like the player he was during that really good stretch. So those of you who are freaking out about Svea, I would calm your fears as he looks to be on a good trajectory as the season winds down for the Pistons, 20 games or so left here in this one. But the second biggest takeaway from the weekend, and I know that a lot of people are talking about Harry Giles, Laz kind of riding the Harry Giles train for the Pistons as an unrestricted free agent, and he was very good on Sunday. I like that idea, but you know, there's going to be a lot of people going after Harry Giles this offseason. We'll see how that all kind of shakes up as kind of an obvious target for the Pistons out there in free agency. But how about this one? How about another name from the weekend, and not super sexy, but Alex Len. I kind of like Alex Len as an option for the Pistons better than John Henson. I know there's a little bit of John Henson buzz right now. He's blocking shots. He's playing pretty well. And again, when we're talking about Alex Len and John Henson, we're talking about the third center, minimum type of contract for John Henson. But I would pay a little bit more than a minimum for Alex Len. I believe there's a little bit of upside there. A guy who would be a bargain this summer with all the free agents that are out there. The Pistons need kind of a veteran presence, I guess, in terms of, you know, you don't want to have all sorts of young guys. But Len has kind of that veteran presence. He's been in the league for a few years now, but he still has some upside. You know, he had 8 points and 13 rebounds on Sunday night against the Pistons. I thought he looked pretty good. Another thing that's kind of a wrinkle, and I mentioned this on Twitter, these friends with Svea Mykhailiuk, he's Ukrainian as well, was the fifth pick in the draft in 2013, 26 years old still. So I think he was drafted at 19. So he's one of those guys that the age, kind of like Andre Drummond, really, exactly, basically, where it's the age, more mileage than age, I guess, is maybe the way to put it. An old 26, like we know Andre Drummond is. I think Alex Len might be a decent option in terms of fulfilling what you want as guys who've been in the league for a little while. Dwayne Casey's going to like that. But maybe an upside guy who could end up being, you know, shopped somehow. And especially if you get him a one-year deal, he's still expiring for the summer of 2021. Maybe he becomes a guy you can get a second-round pick for or something like that. At the trade deadline, if someone needs a body for a center, or maybe someone that you could see staying with the team for a little while. So Alex Len is a name that I'll kind of be looking out for this offseason. But the first biggest takeaway, of course, is the Derrick Rose injury from Sunday night against the Kings. He only played 9 minutes in this one before going down. He had 9 points in that time, was right in there when the Pistons kind of got things going. And I know you expected it, so I'll come out and say it. And this is, again, not me being a hater, but I think this could be a good thing for the Pistons, for him to sit out a game or two. Don't rush him back. I know Dwayne Casey, after the game, it sounds like it's not serious, and maybe he could very well be back on Wednesday against Oklahoma City. But, you know, you get Luke Kennard back soon, apparently. You could have him be kind of your lead guard for a little while, especially in certain lineups. And I said it about Rose last week. I think the first time that something kind of goes wrong for him physically the rest of the way, that they should shut him down, they might be looking for reasons to do so, kind of get through this year a little bit unscathed with him, and maybe possibly look for trades this summer. I don't know how that's going to be approached by this front office. We'll see, obviously. But, and again, this injury does not look serious. It doesn't look like this will be enough of a reason to shut him down for the rest of the year. But you never know. And maybe this ankle is kind of a bigger thing. But in the short term, again, I expect Derrick Rose to maybe miss a game or so. This is based on nothing other than intuition. But, you know, the short term, you got Derek Walton still looking for some minutes on a 10-day deal. He played a little bit on Sunday against the Kings. And that 10-day deal is probably going to be up pretty soon. So I'm guessing maybe that Oklahoma City game might be the last one on his current contract, and then he'll have to re-up for another 10-day deal if that's what the front office sees for Derek Walton's future with the Detroit Pistons, and we'll kind of see how it all plays out. And maybe Derek Walton or Jordan Bone could be brought up full-time if Derrick Rose is shut down. And again, speculation on the shutdown. I know that it's a bright spot to watch Derrick Rose play for the Pistons if you're rooting for them to win. But just the way the organization is right now, certainly it's better to lose, no doubt about that. And Derrick Rose is certainly someone who helps the Pistons win, and that might not be a good thing this time of year on this team. But up next, speaking of guys who might help Pistons win down the road, talk about Tyrese Maxey and Isaac Okoro and an SEC showdown on Saturday, what I saw, what I think about those guys. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and wanted to touch a little bit on the college action over the weekend. I watched Auburn and Kentucky. The Wildcats get the win at Rupp Arena, 73-66. And I will say, you know, this isn't the first time I've seen either of these guys play. Isaac Okoro of the Auburn Tigers and Tyrese Maxey of the Kentucky Wildcats. Michigan State fans will remember Maxey from going nuts at MSG in that opener game this year that they always play. Maybe that was in Chicago. I don't know where they played that this year. I think it's been in Chicago in the past. Anyway, Tyrese Maxey, my opinion on him improved from this game, and my opinion on Isaac Okoro went down a little bit in this game. Isaac Okoro, worth noting, coming off of a little bit of a leg injury, and wasn't as dominant on defense as you might expect from a guy who has that billing. But, didn't really do much offensively. The one three-pointer he did make was one that they kind of dared him into, and he finally showed that he could hit one. That was his one made field goal the entire game. 6 of 9 on free throws. He's only shooting 66% from the field. The three-pointers are 28% right now. So Isaac Okoro, just a lot more of an offensive work in progress, which is the bill on him, obviously, and it showed on Saturday in a tough atmosphere at Kentucky. But man, really impressed with Tyrese Maxey. He didn't knock down any threes. He was 0-for-3, and more of an impact in the first half than he did in the second half, as quickly kind of took over late in the game. But 17 points and 7 rebounds and 4 assists for Maxey, 5 of 13 from the field. Also got to the line, 7 of 8 as well. Kentucky kind of runs with Ashton Hagans and Quickley and Tyrese Maxey as well. It's three guys that can handle the ball. It's kind of like a three-point guard offense in some ways. Hagans being the more traditional point guard, kind of the straw that stirs the drink. But all those guys are making plays. They combined for 11 assists, and none of them had over 5. Hagans is a guy who was 2-for-13 from the field, really struggled from his shooting aspect. He's a guy who's a second-round pick, probably, by the way. But, Maxey, just a compete level, really like him. Was guarding Okoro for a while, a bigger, stronger guy who's more of a wing player. So Maxey's kind of getting his reps against bigger players as running those three small guards out there, smaller guards out there, I should say. Maxey is a guy who's probably showing up on draft boards, you know, low single digits, and the same for Okoro. But these are guys that, you know, on my board right now, and I'm not ready to kind of talk about exactly what my board looks like. I have them ahead of the Avdias of the world, the Israeli kid. And ahead of LaMelo Ball as well. I probably do have Anthony Edwards still at number one, even for the Pistons board. Killian Hayes might be up there as well, and where it all kind of falls. But, I've got probably Maxey ahead of Okoro right now. You know, I like him a little bit better than Okoro, and the position of need being, you know, combo guard. It's another thing about Maxey. He's not a pure point guard. He's playing in Kentucky, where I kind of envisioned him in a Detroit Pistons type of system, if you have that kind of personnel where you put, you know, playmakers all over the perimeter and maybe more combo guards than traditional point guards. Like, maybe there's a way to design an offense that has Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown and whatever combo guard you like out of the Tyrese Maxeys of the world, instead of like a Killian Hayes, who's obviously more of a pure point guard that will have the ball in his hands pretty much all the time. And I know that, you know, that would be a little bit unusual for NBA teams to not have that primary pure point guard that has the ball in their hands all the time. But if you have players like Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard who have that skill set to be secondary ball handlers and people who can make plays on pick and roll and off the dribble themselves as well, maybe you can find ways to use that. And just, I think that's part of the rebuild too, is designing the coaching staff, designing an offense and a defense that works for some of these main components that you have. Because, you know, what we're seeing from Sekou is that he's just a kind of a guy who's out there right now. And I don't see that this coaching staff is really doing a good job of putting him in positions to get some of those reps that he might need, and also using some of his strengths to be successful. He's just kind of getting lost. And I think that's what this coaching staff needs to figure out going forward, is ways to get the talents enriched of these players who need to have those talents developed, and to use those strengths that they have in ways that make them more successful. So I think that's a big task for this team this offseason. I think the draft is going to be part of that as well. You know, Cole Anthony to me isn't as high as these guys. So, you know, if we're throwing out like a top five right now, I've probably got Anthony Edwards one. I've probably got Killian Hayes number two. And then, it might be Maxey as high as number three. Halliburton's right up there as well. Okongwu, I really like him, despite the fact that the Andre Drummond experience maybe turns off some of you guys from a big there in the first round. But certainly like him better than James Wiseman, who I think is going to be falling on boards as the season gets closer. And LaMelo Ball, kind of the wild card of the draft, right? I know a lot of you guys like him, and pretty exciting player, certainly. But the drawbacks that come with the balls as well could be maybe the biggest swing that you could possibly take high in the draft this year. But plenty more draft talk as we move along here with the spring. Looking at tonight's games, if you want to catch a college game to do some preparation, looks like the Duke Blue Devils are playing NC State. Get a chance to watch Duke here late in the season at Cameron, 7 o'clock. Haven't checked if the health on some of these guys, but you know, they've got Vernon Carey, who's a late first-round guy, dominates in college at center. Just ask Michigan State about that. But Trey Jones is a guy that I've talked about for 2 years now. I think he has an NBA career. He's looked at as more of a late first-round pick. Small guy, but great defensive player. 20-year-old sophomore, younger brother of Tyus Jones as well. So we see the bloodlines there in the NBA, and he's a guy that I think, you know, the Pistons had picked up a late first-round pick somehow. Maybe those Kennard talks resurface, and that the Pistons could find their way into getting a second pick, or maybe trade down with their top pick this year. Could be an option. Could be a guy to look at there as well. But that'll do it for the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.